Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the Twin Cities of Millennium and Paragon Cities. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. And ladies and gentlemen, it's almost here. We're on the eve-ish of DawnCon 8, the Ocho. And before we go any further, let me bring on my co-host. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
I'm dying. I'm dying over here. Another day of heat, humidity, and haze.
Oy vey.
And I work in a metal can for all practical purposes.
But it begins Wednesday night here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just two and a half sleeps away, as they say. two full sleeps and a nap in the afternoon away.
There you go. It's going like, let's do the math right now.
if I did Steiner math, that would be two full sleeps, a couple of afternoon naps, a short snooze, and who knows what else.
At least you're not doing that base 10.
Oh, good Lord. I'm not using the Common Core thing where, 350 plus 70, and let me take 10 minutes to figure that out.
Hey, but anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, yes.
Go ahead.
DawnCon 8.
Yep.
DawnCon 8, the Ocho, is almost here.
And this time, I'm not in charge.
We don't know who. Your help will be greatly appreciated. But yes, it's right. My tooth. It's right around the corner. And I still have that toothache. The dentist won't see me till Wednesday morning, so I'm out. I might show up all loopy. But we'll see.
Either
what happens.
Either that, or you'll be talking like. He'll be doing the skit of Bill Cosby. I would like to have a baby. About it, my baby.
That's right.
My baby.
That's right.
Did you see me, my baby?
It's better than the way I'm talking now.
My lip is right on the bottom of the floor. It was like this when I got for you. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud. Now... Yeah, my brother just did it again.
What? What he did?
He's having Wi-Fi issues.
Well, all right, but you explain to him why.
You're going to have to go solo for a little while. I'm putting it on my menu.
Okay. So... I'm waiting for people to call in so we could discuss DawnCon 8. I don't want to get too much into the discussions. So I will do... Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I thought I invited one person here, and it's showing me it didn't. So hold on a minute. It did not.
All right, I'm going to have to do a full reboot of the Wi-Fi and the modem, so you're on your own for a little while. I shall return.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I got to get... Okay, great. Yeah, I need that information from that person again. Hold on a minute. Sorry, folks. All right, hold on a minute. I'm just trying to get the right information here. I'm sorry about this, folks. This is all, like, last-minute stuff that we're doing here. Okay, now it's sent. Check your email. It should be from blogtalkradio.com. We have a whole list of events coming up, but I'm going to read this one first. This came out today, courtesy of Superhero Hype. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Disney Plus release date is revealed finally by Marvel Studios. Wow. It's not too far away, folks. It first run in theaters on May 5th. It will debut on Disney Plus on Wednesday, August 2nd. And it's going to be the latest MCU movie to join the service after Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. It was added to the catalog on June 14th, 2023. For those who need a quick recap, in the film Marvel, Band of Misfits are looking a bit different these days. Reads the MCU's sequel synopsis. Peter Quill, still reeling from the loss of Gamora, must rally his team around him to defend the universe, along with protecting one of their own. Mission that, if not completed successfully, could quite possibly lead to the end of the Guardians as we know them. And this was the last Marvel movie directed by James Gunn. And then, of course, he moved over to DC and said The Flash was the greatest superhero movie of all time. And I don't need to say any more about that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on hold. You know him. You love him. He hosts Friday Night. He's going to be co-hosting some costume contest. Well, I'm just going to bring him on. He's the Techno Kitty. He's the DJ Alto Mark 7 V2.
Hello.
Hello. There he is, Alto. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
good. And now, we don't need Matt. He says we're hosting this year. He's just helping out.
He's having some technical difficulties.
Yes, it could be from that. Yes, he was explaining to us, guys, just be careful the next few days. You could be attacked by a solar flare.
The wind of the solar flare.
That's right. If you see one coming for you, get a big bag of marshmallows, try and roast them, and then run. Or just get a water gun and shoot it. Maybe it might cool it off. I doubt it. But anyway, he's saying a solar flare might screw up all your technicals, electronical stuff. So you better be careful, Robo Kitty, Techno Kitty. I'm worried about you.
I mean, I'll use like normal cable internet, but the Wi-Fi, there's probably some problems there. But, yeah.
I mean, to everybody who has solar panels, you might see a rise in the energy storage you have suddenly for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your energy storage might go straight up, I'm telling you.
Hey, free energy, you know?
Anyway, I thought they were talking about Obi-Wan. They said Obito. All right. Okay. So let's get to it. Let's talk about DawnCon 8, the Ocho. Our preview night is going to be Wednesday night. And as always, that's going to be in the Viboro Bay Powerhouse Theater. The Bunnies are going to do some movie that is Don Con 8-ish. I think it's going to be, what, a Japanese RoboCop, they said?
Well, I suggested to them that they, you know, should check out their Japanese RoboCop. But they might be, it could be any movie, in fact.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It could be something. I suggested a movie, and then I found out they can't watch it. Mad's been teasing me for months. No, they can't watch it. And then I found out, then I found out they really can't watch it. I was like, you knew this whole time. You just had my hopes up this whole time. Only for me to find out the truth in the last second.
Yes.
So
Japanese disappointing. RoboCop.
That's right. No, no, no. It's a movie called The Double D Avenger.
Oh.
I forgot. Oh, you know what it was? It is this, obviously, this woman with very large breasts. And it's like, I kind of felt, and we were sitting there going, I kind of feel bad for her because you know she's going to get typecast. And what did she do after this one movie? So we went to Internet Movie Database that night, and we found out she did this movie. It's like, oh, my God. That movie sounds like it's worthy for Bunny Night. And Meg kept saying to me, don't you dare. Don't you dare suggest it to them. So every time I suggest it, he goes, no, don't do it. Now I found out they can't. I mean, it's watchable. You just can't watch it on the thing they use. So, because apparently there's slight nudity. And I'm like, really? A movie called The Double D Avenger and there's slight nudity. I'm shocked. I really am. No, I'm not. I'm not kidding. All right. Anyway, so that's going to be preview night. That's going to be the only event held. Well, no, I can't say that. That we're involved in anyway. That's going to be not in Champions HQ. Then Thursday will be Metal Thursday. I'm kind of hoping they're going to, you know, try and do something Don Con-ish. If not, you know, I have no control over that. I sent them a message. I haven't got a reply. But then, here we go. Here comes where the fun begins. Friday evening, Bunny Night, not in the minefield this week.
Nope.
Everything
will be in the Champions HQ.
That's right. Everything from this point on, as normal for Don Con, will be in Champions HQ. You know, the big building with the big C on top next to Ren Center. That's where you go. Come on down. Hang out. Lots of music all weekend at 7 p.m. Eastern. So we got to be there earlier. 'Cause 7 p.m. Eastern, we start the first of two big costume contests. Alto and myself will be judging. The theme of the contest is party. Your best party outfit, your best party costume. How many winners did we say? Three?
Let me check. For the party one, five.
Five winners, but one, and then one overall?
Yeah. Basically,
right.
One
the overall winner
and five winners.
Right.
So about six in total for the party.
Six winners.
Yeah,
but because it's Bunny Night, best overall will be bunny themed. Letting the spoilers out now. You got to be bunny themed. Well, this is weird.
Well, not
Mad
for the best.
No,
the
no,
best
Mad
category. Story.
Hold on. Mad Viking is back, but it says he's on twice. That's so weird. Hello, Mad Viking.
Hello.
Or is this a clone? Because it shows you twice on the colon. On the colon
because
board, it shows
because
you're here
because
twice.
Because I disconnected hard, that's why.
You did a hard disconnect. You disconnected
yes,
so hard you fucked
yeah,
yourself.
Basically, to explain what's going on here,
I mentioned a solar flare, but I figured you could mention it, explain it in more detail. So please go ahead.
They there were two solar flares that were coming our way. One small, slow, one big and strong. The big, strong one merged. Think Star Trek when Captain Kirk was caught in the wave. Well, it's hitting Earth, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, electronics are going to be having fun. Well,
oh,
guess
dear.
What? I'm having fun. The good thing, I have this old monster surge protector, because it ate it. It's still good, but it was like, boom, there it is. And I got to put you on hold. Here we go again.
Everyone's on hold again. All right. Well, that explained the solar flare I was talking about earlier. We're talking about Dawn Connie.
Yeah.
You there? Put us on hold.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. All right.
Yeah, I'm still here.
So, yes, I see. So, Friday night, costume contest. Stick around. We're going to music all night. Fun dancing. Then Saturday, I believe we're starting at 2 p.m. And that's the time we usually start. Music. Our big event will be 5 p.m. Eastern. Well, not the big event. You know, it's an event all weekend. Event, we're going to have another costume contest, 5 p.m. This will be superhero themed. Three themes. Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern
Age. Eastern time wise, Friday contest, it will be 7 p.m.
Right, that's at 7 p.m. on Friday night.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then Saturday will be 5 p.m. Eastern.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But I'm just talking about DawnCon itself. People show up at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right.
Because we always start at 2 p.m. Music. Gives people time to show up again. Champions HQ. And then after that, I'm hoping to put a little trivia contest together. Should be time. And then 10 p.m. that night, DJ Coconut. We'll have a special DawnCon edition, Dawnmination.
Yep.
And then DJ Jester will do a Saturday night after party at 11. And then, Sunday, the tradition continues. 2 p.m. Eastern in the Canadian wilderness by the Argent Sanctuary. Bring your furry character or furry costume. Matt's back. Bring your best vehicle.
I don't know how long I'm going to be in.
Okay. I'm at the cool part. Bring your furry or furry costume. Wear it. Bring your fastest vehicle. You're going to race along most of that paved road that goes through, like, every section. We're going to have multiple heats if we have enough vehicles. It's time for the fast and the furious. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, Partially. And then, I don't know if we should mention this part, a few hours later, some of us will be joining a group of players. We are finally going to be playing Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know how we're going to do this one. We're going to try and switch it so people can watch it. I don't want to interfere with the DJs that are on that night, but we'll have to think of something. We're still working out the details on that one, So. You guys there? Hello?
Yep.
Ray got quiet.
I'm here.
Okay. So, I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the categories for the Saturday Cuss Contest, which will be Superhero Fiend.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's
how
gonna
many,
be
when
the
I said that, I...
Yeah, the categories,
yeah,
but in case if someone missed it, the categories will be Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern Hero, and Overall Best. So
that's
about
right. And,
three winners and one best.
Right. Hey, hey. Now I'm asking you, Alta, how should we do? Should we do all three categories at once?
Yeah, we basically pick.
Okay. Because I don't want people to have the chance to change. I don't want people to have the chance to change costumes and go, I want all three costumes, three categories.
Yeah, we basically just pick the ones that we think fits the criteria.
Right. Right.
For each category.
Okay.
And then the best is like whatever,
Right. Okay. And then Sunday, speed is the key.
Speed. Am I still in team?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh?
I don't know how long.
Well, you missed the news, Matt. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will be on Disney Plus on August 2nd.
There you go.
Right around the corner. Pretty coming up fast. Trying to see what other news we have. Oh, and I want to tell everybody, a big reason to come to DawnCon this year, we're all showing up. Unlike another big convention that happening this coming weekend where, almost nobody's showing up for you to get autographs from, for you to take pictures of. Think about it. What panels are they going to have in Hall H? All the actors are on strike. They can't go to San Diego Comic-Con. No movie panels. They've all been canceled. We're here. We're so gonna be there. Sucks, doesn't it? No actors. No shows and movies to talk about because they're all on hiatus.
I heard about that.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it. Last week I heard about it. I was like, oh my God. I didn't think about that.
I think it's because they're not getting paid like enough for their work.
No.
No, they're joining
the writers. No, this
oh,
right.
Writers.
The writers have been on strike. The Screen Actors Guild has just joined in with them out of a brotherhood, sisterhood type thing.
Oh, right.
But because they're on strike now, it's in their contract. If you go on strike, you can't go to conventions and stuff. That's in there. They can't make public appearances, so...
But what if they do an online appearance?
No, it still counts.
Oh.
Because they're getting paid for it, or whatever's going on.
Right.
So.
Well, they could send a picture of themselves and just have that on the stage.
Nope. Nope. They might do something like that, but they can't answer questions. They can't participate in the panels in any way. I think the wording was they cannot participate in the panels.
Well, it happens.
Okay, here it is. This was from 3 days ago. Hold on, here we go. This is how the SAG AFTRA strike could affect SDCC 2023 and other cons. Okay, obviously this is going to extend beyond stopping production on films and television series. It will also shut down major Hollywood studios' promotional efforts at SDCC 2023 and other conventions aimed at comic collectors and sci-fi and fantasy fans. So this is how the strike is explained. SAG-AFTRA
right back again.
Is a union. All right, I'll send you the link when we're done. All right, is a union combining the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Wait, does that include us? Representing over 160,000 creative performers, their membership includes announcers, journalists, dancers, disc jockeys, newscasters, singers, puppeteers, recording artists, stunt performers, and voiceover artists, as well as film and television actors. The SAG-AFTRA strike comes upon the heels of a strike orchestrated by the WGA, Writers Guild of America, which started on May 2nd, 2023. While individual SAG-AFTRA members had voiced their support of the WGA strike, there was no organized effort to join them until after SAG-AFTRA and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, AMPTP, representing the studios, failed to agree upon a new 3-year contract. Like the WGA, SAG-AFTRA is concerned that their members are not being fairly compensated for new works produced for streaming services like Netflix or Disney Plus, nor for older series broadcast through streaming. Creators have lost on old contracts based around reruns on cable networks rather than how often their work was streamed or downloaded. Another issue is the use of artificial intelligence. SAG-AFTRA demands rules against digitally reproducing an actor's likeness or voice without their express permission and due compensation. Okay, now, how the strike affects SDCC. While strike does not prohibit SAG-AFTRA members from working in their chosen fields, it does prevent them from working for studios like Disney or Warner Brothers that are members of AMPTP. SAG-AFTRA members are also prohibited from any work that promotes any film or television products produced for those studios, new or old. Okay. There you go. So they can't promote anything involving the companies they work for. The RAF reported on the SAG-AFTRA ruling released 48 hours before the strike began, which officially defined promotional work. The SAG-AFTRA strike specifically forbids members from participating in, quote-unquote, press junkets, film premieres, and fan events like San Diego Comic-Con. They are also forbidden from discussing current or upcoming work on social media. There you go. So they can't even call in or do anything like that. Marvel Studios and DC Studios both pulled out of San Diego Comic-Con 2023. In anticipation of the SAG-AFTRA strike. Okay, if I had tickets for San Diego Comic-Con, I demand my money back.
Or at least one hell of a discount.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. What the hell is going to be there? Not wanting to put up a poor showing by not having any writers or actors in attendance, other major studios followed suit leaving industry insiders worried about whether events like SDCC can continue to be profitable with no actor appearances or trailer teases to engage the fans. However, the problems facing SDCC 2023 may only be the beginning, because small conventions will suffer.
Yep.
While SAG-AFTRA members are unofficially discouraged from attending events like SDCC, they are technically allowed to attend fan events. Okay, they are allowed to attend fan events and sign autographs or take photos with fans. Okay. They cannot, however, attend panels that promote films or television shows or discuss any current or future work. It is feared that most members will choose to avoid convention appearances completely, rather than risk a slip-up and violate the strike. They may also wish to avoid the perception of crossing the picket line by making a first appearance. While the major studios pulling out of SDCC 2023 has been a public relations nightmare, it could cause bigger problems for smaller fan events around the world. While these events are not used as intensively as promotional opportunities by the big studios as SDCC, they are still a major source of outreach between devoted fans and the studios through the actors. Unless a strike is settled soon, these small conventions may have to run without their usual lineup of celebrity guests, which are typically the biggest draw for this sort of show. They're fucked! I'm sorry!
Now, Morcus did bring up a point here. People just said that these are the super billionaire actors, but they're also union, also thousands of lesser-known actors, stuntmen, and all.
Right.
Now, one thing that I also think about is that myself, and I know a few others that listen occasionally, they are indie actors who, when they look at SAG-AFTRA's dues, and they offer a bank loan to start means we, you know, if you're like in New York or California or Chicago, you cannot get a gig for shit because you're not in SAG-AFTRA.
Right. My question is, how much does it cost to join SAG-AFTRA?
Really want that price? Hold on.
I'm wondering.
$3,000. You pay an annual base of $231.96, an additional 1.575 of SAG-AFTRA protected earnings up to $1 million.
Holy shit.
Remember, and this covers, you know, the major stations. You're basically looking, you know, if you are a non-union anything, we're talking chump change. And that is, it's not because that's all you know, that's all they're going to give out to people that are non-union. It's because they're the only, that's all they can afford. So that's all you can get.
Right.
The initial fee, yeah, $3,000. Maximum total dues are $8,089.32 annually if you earn over $500,000.
That's crazy.
In other words, pretty much, if you're paying rent, there it is.
Well,
there's your rent money. Boom, gone. So yeah, there is lesser-known actors, and they're going to get hit, and stuntmen, and all that, and they're going to get hit the hardest first.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, yeah, the big super millionaires are going like, oh, I can ride this out for a little while.
Yeah.
I can go on
Oprah. But then that would be considered crossing the line.
No, no, going on Oprah. If they talk about, you know, yeah.
What are they going to talk about, though? They can't talk about their upcoming projects.
They can talk about, you know, they could talk about why they are on strike.
Right, that's all they could do is talk about the strike. That's it. They can't talk about any old
or new
projects.
And they can talk about
projects.
Also, they can talk about their family.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever scandal they're in. There's a few.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get some bees, and you get some bees, and everyone gets some bees.
That's right.
Sorry, hi, Vincent. You mentioned about Oprah.
Now, I'm thinking, you know, the Full Tilt Business Man, you know, this is when, if you want to keep going, there's a whole bunch of very, very hungry non-SAG union members who will be going like, you're going to offer how much? It's not $25 a day? I can take it.
Yeah.
There will not be any sympathy if it's over $100.
When they mention
like I
the
said,
radio
I know
thing,
quite a few. Pogo, I know you
no,
know quite a few.
Yes. When they mentioned the radio thing, I was like, wait a minute. I can't listen to the radio anymore. All the DJs are on strike. This sucks. I guess y'all just tune into dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn.
So, yeah, base dues, 214, and anything you work and get paid for, 1.6%. Maybe you can get Kevin Spacey live from the county jail.
So
he can recreate the Green Mile.
So for that, basically, for every $100 you make, $1.60 goes to SAG. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. And just add a zero and just move that decimal point. So if it's 1,000, it's $16.
Right.
$10,000, $160. And that's including the $214.32. But initial startup, $3,000 out of the gate, no questions.
No matter what you make. You make $500, you still own
$2,500. So, yeah. Feel bad for the lesser known actors, you know, the ones that you always see on direct to video.
Mm-hmm.
Feel sorry for the stuntmen. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as you start hearing Clooney or Fran Drescher, who's the president of SAG-AFTRA, or any one of the big names,
I don't feel bad.
Tiniest violin.
And they have time, and they're going to sit back, and they have time to sit back, and, you know, we're going to ride this out. We're on strike against the strikers. Why? This is bullshit.
So, please, hire an indie actor. He's willing to work. He'll even probably do his own stuff. Oh, wait a minute. I think I know what he's about
to do. Hold on. Yes, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Wait. Let's back that up. I don't like playing this song, but I hate this song. But
only because of the image that comes up with it.
Every fucking time, every 5 minutes I watch the Fight Network, this song, this commercial comes up. Alto's in a cage. He's chained up. Why? Oh, sorry. Wrong image. Go ahead.
During this strike, please hire the lesser-known actors. Hire...
And writers.
And writers. Hire indie actors and writers who are not union. They'll probably even do their own stunts. They're probably willing to get hurt while doing these stunts.
Wait, what? What? Hey, shut up. Stop saying that.
I'm willing to shoe on my shoes for this. Ah!
Who knows? You may be discovering the next Oscar winner, or the Emmy winner, or the Tony.
Well, yeah, because the actors are still on strike. It's next year. It's time for the nominations. Thanks. I want to take Mega Viking for giving me this job because I do my own strike, my own stunts. Now I'm walking up here accepting this award in a body cast and being wheeled up on a gurney. But I won the Academy Award.
You like me. You really like me. No, she's still alive. She probably wants a claim of that.
That's right. You love me. You love me all. You might not know my name still. I can tell they got it wrong with the announcer. He screwed up my name. He called me Bill. My name's Ted, but it's all right.
And the nomination goes to... Oh, wait. There. Everyone went on strike. I guess take the nomination myself.
Yeah. No, I'm right here. You showed me on the screen, you bastard. You can actually have an Academy Award. Wait a minute. They wouldn't be able to. None of these people are in the Academy. In the, what do they call that? In the Academy.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the People's Choice.
It has to be the People's Choice, right. They wouldn't be able to have the Oscars next year if the strike isn't enforced.
People's Nominant's Choice, or, like, people's...
Right, the People's Choice Award, yeah. That's it. Oh, wait. No. There is the Spirit Award. That's in the movies. I like that award show better anyway. That's more fun. That's a laid back. You know it's laid back because they show the tables before the awards, and there's like a couple bottles of alcohol on the table for everybody. And somehow by like at least halfway through, those bottles are empty. Are we still playing this?
Yeah.
One individual's Swaghammer. He's an actor. Hire him. Do we know any writers? Oh, yeah. Me. Hire me to be a writer, you bastards. There. We're all set. We got a bunch
and
of
also,
voice actors on this. What? Go ahead.
And also, don't forget about Old Man Bob. Because he's matters.
Because what matters?
Rocks.
Rocks matter.
Give rocks.
To, rocks.
Yeah, give rocks to Old Man Bob. Yeah, that ad.
That's right. And food. Anyone's food. And there's
and
a
rocks.
Bunch of voice actors on this station. Yeah, see, there's a bunch of voice actors on this station. Is that it? Oh, thank God. We made it through. Think of me, I just endured that whole song. I think that's the longest I've ever heard that song. That's not true. If you sit through an hour of the Fight Network, every commercial break this song comes on for the ASPCA. And it's just like, why? I'm an animal lover. Just leave me alone. I didn't do it. Just leave me, go away. I'm like, Sarah, you make a shitload of money. Why don't you donate the money you want? Holy crap.
I always think back to Sam Kinison. It's going like they always talk about, you know, feeding the hungry in Africa, and there's Sally Struthers. You figure she would help a little bit, you know, because they got a work table over there and just give a kid a sandwich!
Mm-hmm.
Or hire Rain. She's no actress, but she does her own stunts.
That's right.
What Monica said.
Huh. Sorry, I'm just looking through here, and it's like... Yeah, I didn't even look at the superhero news for movies and TV shows. Because you know everything's going to be set back 3 years now because of the strike, so. You know, it's like, good news. The shows you've been waiting for are coming out. Cool. Bad news now. Thanks to it all, you got to wait. You sons of bitches. I'm looking here, though. If you're actually going to Comic-Con, there's a couple of cool X-Men and Batman figures. Oh, and there's one of Prince Adam. Holy shit. The Man-Bat they're going to have a figure of. His wingspan is 34 inches. Oh, is this 1.6? Okay, 1.6. Wait, is this Comic-Con exclusive? I bet it's Comic-Con exclusive. Trying to bring up some cheerful news about San Diego Comic-Con. Yeah, Mondo SDCC, exclusive figures, Man-Bat, Magneto, Logan, and Prince Adam. Okay, the exclusive figures being a made-to-order run. Other services, one is not actually purchased at the show. Rather, they're made available online on the show days and will ship around December. You know, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, not guaranteed, so be careful your thinking in terms of holiday gifts. These are marquee characters, ones you'll very much want to own if you collect their line. Yeah, no kidding. I'm looking at Magneto.
No. Hugs. I'm not an actor or stuntman, but I trip up the stairs regularly. Hire me.
That
could be Biden. Could be Biden. He trips a lot upstairs.
That's right.
Reminds me of that one episode in Family Guy where the guy who trips down the stair and he makes some noises while he trips down.
Would be Peter. That would be Peter, and when he makes it down, he goes.
He was doing a song on the way down.
Yeah,
Oh, shit. I know what you're talking about. I forgot. But while you're thinking about this, hold on. So, the Magneto one comes with two different heads. Actually, three. One where he's helmeted, you can see his face. One without the helmet, and he's got hair. The other one helmeted, and you see two white dots for his eyes. He has three sets of hands and one closed fist. So you can mix match. What looks like a crumpled up group of metal and two spinning disc things that look his magnetic powers. And he has a stand and I guess supposed to be a strand of metal cable. Okay? Check this out now. Wolverine. He's wearing his leather jacket with the fur collar. Looking menacingly. Another one, he's growling, so two heads. Then he has other arms that you can pop off with a jacket without sleeves. I mean, without the jacket sleeves. The shirt sleeves are rolled up. One, two, three. Five sets of hands, okay? One, two, three. For some reason, they come with eight claws. Four for each hand, even though and on each hand are there's one pair of hands on him already that are just plain, just normal, and then there's five sets that you can put the claws into, and there's an extra set of claws apparently. Let's see what we get for Prince Adam here. It's Prince Adam, two different heads. He's got his normal face, scowling face, smiling face. That looks like a laughing face, smiling face. The sword of power with energy waves coming off of it. A gun. Some kind of flame thing coming off a wrist thing. Two additional sets of hands. A horn. Oh, okay. I guess the jacket comes off. He can put another harness on him. A white and then a pure pink sword. A dragon head, a pink wolf head? I'm trying to see here. Okay, he comes with a removal sword harness. Okay, sword harness. Toy and cartoon-inspired swords. A fighting transformation sword. the Masks of Power from the mini comic of the same name. Okay. Multiple heads, a laughing head, as I said, allow fans to recreate the four non-blondes meme if they so wish. Okay. Then Man-Bat, like I said, his full wingspan reaches 14 inches, so 34 inches. Then you have folded, you can switch him out for folded wings. He comes with a torn shirt and multiple heads, including one mid-transformation. So you get four heads altogether. Okay, this is over the weekend. Magneto went up for pre-order today at 10 a.m. And the others go up Wednesday. Preview night at 10 a.m. Oh, shit, I thought that was the price. Okay. So here it is. They're all up for limited runs. Magneto's is $500. Logan's, or Wolverine, is $1,500. Prince Adam is $2,000. And Man-Bat is $1,000. So I'm going to go to the exclusive page now and see how much these are. Oh, it's Pacific time.
Hey, Poe, you got a fan who's standing near your hair in City of Heroes.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Right.
Ready for, hold on. Magneto, ready for this one? Goes for $225. Prince Adam, $250. Logan, I'm afraid to see what he's going to go for. $215. And Man-Bat, $225. Oh, wait a minute. There's a booth exclusive. If you go there, 6 p.m. Pacific time on... Oh, my God. What is this thing? Are you shitting me?
You forgot to start the chat.
What? No. You have to... Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry in the chat. Wait. Biollante, the Godzilla villain, is going to be an exclusive. $135. A Rodan soft vinyl, Cherry Blossom Glow, $125. Space Godzilla soft vinyl for $150. Those are the con exclusive. Shit, I'm sorry in the chat right now. Shit, I'm so sorry. We had so much. We were very busy before this. I'm so sorry. I knew I forgot. I apologize. Chat's open.
Hey.
Chat's open. I never forgot. Sorry.
There we go.
All right. There it is. The chat room is now open belatedly. I'm so sorry. But there you go. Action figures. Gold legs. And why are you striking? I'll tell you, you never go in the chat room.
I don't know. I'm just doing it because, you know, no reason.
I know. You just got a... Yeah, Mordecai said it. Good thing other countries had decent shows to watch. I'm glad I just had to catch up on some shows so I could just, you know, not give a damn about the strike. The chat room is open.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Gold Legs and why is he protesting?
Because he's still also protesting.
I sent you the clip with the falling down the stairs from Family Guy.
Oh, okay. Okay,
it's,
hold on.
It's,
okay.
And it's, yes.
Oh, it was Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
Oh, the doo-doo-doo. Yeah, I remember. Okay, now I remember that one. Yeah, okay, got it. Okay. Roll call. Here we are in City of Heroes on the steps of City Hall in beautiful downtown Atlas Park on the Excelsior server. Myself and Mad Viking, DJ Alto Mark 7 V2 protesting for no damn reasons except to be an instigator. Gold Legs, he's protesting too for no reason. Well, he got Pogo Spring, my sidekick, thank you. And Hugs. Okay. Over in the studios of WCOC in Millennium City, in Champions Online, myself, Mad Viking, Alto Mark 7 V2, Mordecus, and Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Num Num. Num Num.
The chat on the side seems not to be working with me. Getting an error.
Okay.
Might be on my own end, though. Oh, well.
Okay, well, it's 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Here they come. No, they have signs on. They're not on strike. But they feel sympathy for the SAG-AFTRAs. Hey, you better not be on strike. I'll slap you. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a superhero and one of the, you know, characters in this tome from the tomb is your arch nemesis, you're in trouble. Because these are oddball criminals from comic book history. These are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. Just a moment. Oh, wait a minute. We're doing three this week from the Golden Age.
Yep.
That's right. We are in the Golden Age now. We're all done with the Silver Age and the Modern Age. And then after we're done with this tome, we go to, oh, good Lord, we go to Sidekicks. Why do I feel like that's going to be the most fun of all of them? Okay, the first one. This is an enemy of the Black Terror, of course. Created by Ruben Moreira, and, oh, our favorite, an uncredited writer.
Oh, boy.
see, they could get an uncredited writer. He could be writing stuff for everybody. And I got to say something about that. I think if you get, a writer who's not in the, in the guild or whatever you want to call it, that might be better. Because they don't have to, follow the rules. He might be hungry. He might not settle for, the norm. He might not settle for the pattern. Anyway, yep. He debuted in America's Best Comics, number 30. Nidor Publications, April 1949. Favorite games to play? Hangman. Words with Enemies. Boggle. But with knives. His quote, I'm sick of being honest. I'm going to be rich and famous, no matter how. The name? The Puzzler. While many supervillains launch their crusade against good for complicated reasons of ideology or ambition, sometimes a villain is born from a lack of generosity and respect. When dire circumstances place an otherwise honest man on the fence between good and evil, a cruel world can seal his fate. Before the Puzzler begins his conundrum-based crime career, he's an anonymous figure trying to survive the dismal realities of poverty. Entering the archway of a bank, he has larceny on his desperate mind. I try going straight, he muses, but I can't stand poverty any longer. I'm going to pass that check I forged. But before he can, the bank's vice president emerges from his office in a panic. It seems one of the safes has accidentally closed, and no one knows how to open it. Millions are at stake. Having possessed a unique gift for solving puzzles since childhood, the future Puzzler makes short work of the safe's combination, opening it in mere minutes. He expects to be rewarded for his self-described strange genius. However, the bank's vice president simply mutters insincere things and rushes the shabby figure out the door. The ingratitude proves to be the final straw, and the Puzzler is born, offering clues in advance of crimes, riddles of theft and destruction. He promptly plagues the city with criminality. He also dons a costume that makes him look like the floor of a tiled bathroom. But that's no reflection. That's no reflection on his sinister wit, I tell you. Although his robberies are ambitious, the poster's genuine motivation is to baffle and belittle the forces of authority. He even calls out the Black Terror, a grim visage crime avenger, whose jet black uniform emblazoned with a skull head emblem says it all. Wait. So it's a black costume with a skull, with a white skull on top, across it. Where have I seen that before? A skull head. Mm-hmm. Teasing the Terror and his sidekick, Kid Terror, with complicated riddles and puzzles, encourages the puzzler to commit high-risk robberies, no matter the collateral damage, setting fire to a row of apartments, to gain easy access to the same bank vault he'd earlier cracked. He crows, "Now, everyone will realize my cleverness." When riddles and puzzles don't satisfy the puzzler's needy intellect, he deploys terrible puns. Escaping into a tree, he claims that he's branching out.
Ugh.
While slugging Kid Terror with a, that's right. While slugging Kid Terror with a sack of heavy coins, he chides, "This should pound some sense into your head." He saves his most egregious pun for the theft of the valuable Sulong idol made of solid gold. During its theft, he makes his exit, saying, "Time to say Sulong." There's more. In the end, the Twin Terrors incapacitate the puzzler. His terrific intellect can't compensate for a twisted ankle. At least the heroes acknowledge the villain's great mind. "The puzzler was clever," admits Kid Terror, while his elder partner adds, "Going straight was the only puzzle he couldn't work out." Oh, there's a roll call here. Game-themed No Good Nicks have always populated comics. Superman battled another more violent and vicious puzzler. The Justice League has faced off against the Royal Flush Gang. And Batman set the standard of riddle and puzzle-themed baddies by facing off against the apex of the motif, the Riddler, on whom the puzzler may very well have been based.
And yes, I know, I'm trying to get back on City of Heroes.
Okay, well, I'm not looking at it. Take your time. Okay, so our next foray into the Golden Age. This is an enemy of Yankee Boy, created by Sam Cooper. Debut in Dynamic Comics number 16. Harry A. Chesler, October 1945. He is not to be confused with Burger King, though he often hangs out in the parking lot there. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay, the quote, "Scoop up those reefers and makins. You got to help me harvest the crop before we scram." Oh, my God. The villain's name? Reefer King. Holy mackerel. Okay, every form of American media has, at one point or another, addressed the perceived threat of marijuana use. Yeah, it's what I thought. Okay. Used by engaging in some elaborate hyperbole. Healthy, vibrant youngsters are turned into leering, hunched-over maniacs. Scintillating intellects are draped in never-ending psychosis. Law-abiding citizens become hardened, murder-happy gunslingers overnight, all in the name of feeding a ravenous habit. Reefer madness. Hey, they should make that into a movie. One Mary Jane-laced menace is the so-called Reefer King, a shady dealer of funny cigarettes. At no point in the story are the illicit cigarettes ever referred to as marijuana or cannabis. Taking advantage of a wartime shortage on tobacco products, King aided by the equally violent Creeper, spelled with a K, approaches shopkeepers with an alluring offer. At a dime per cig, he tells the humble owner of an otherwise legit cigar store, you'll be making yourself a hundred, H-U-N-N-E-R-T, percent profit. Mac, and when your customers get in the habit, you'll be in clover. His offer is too good for innocent teenage tobacco aficionado Mickey to pass up, and Mac ends up selling him something new. There's certainly something jarring, even amusingly ironic, about a story that condemns the use of marijuana while blithely approving of the unhealthy habit of underage smoking. Puffing away in a filthy back alley, the Reefer King's insidious cigarettes effect a strange change on the youngster. Mickey notes that the smoke makes him think different. Producing a toy pistol out of nowhere, Mickey tells us, this 4-bit cap pistol looks like a real gun in the dark. I'm getting ideas. His joint-inspired attempt to hold up a gas station gets him slapped around by an attendant and hauled off to prison. Stopping. Soon, the police inform All-American teen Vic Martin, a.k.a. Yankee Boy, about the bad cigarettes being sold around town. When Yankee Boy confronts Reefer King, the kahuna of cannabis is quick to turn to violence, pulling a gun on his nemesis and firing wildly into the streets. For good measure, he shoots Mac, the cigar shop owner, directly in the face. Yankee Boy pursues the menace to society back to his hideout, where he engages in a knockdown, drag-out battle with both King and Creeper. Despite attacking with clubs and sides, they're defeated by the boy hero. Forced to walk to police headquarters, the dopey duo reflects on the ultimate lesson learned. Why was we so dumb, King? Asked Creeper.
Hey.
No, I just loved it. Like, I'm sorry. It's just... Never mind.
Yeah.
It's just... No.
And
all right, we got one.
I had to do something.
What?
Oh. I had to do something. That's why I was silent.
Will you smoke in the reefer?
No. Whatever.
Did you miss the whole thing?
Remember the domination where Alto got sugar? Yeah, you really want to see?
Did you miss the whole entry on the Reefer King?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You missed it.
Well, that's
it
why
hilarious.
You can download the podcast and re-listen
that's
to it
right.
later on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed you missed a good episode.
Yes, just give me the short version of it, like the quick short version. The summary.
Oh no! Oh no! You gotta read. No, you gotta read. You gotta download the whole thing and listen to it now. A week for the rest. No. No, it was just the guy. He just sells cannabis to kids, and the little kid, he was in the back alley, and he just starts smoking his first cannabis. And also he's like, he gives a kid this cat pistol. It's a cat pistol. And he goes, I'm getting evil ideas. And he goes to rob a gun. He goes to run a gas station. And the kid gets flopped around and gets sent to jail. It was just a funny. I'm thinking, stick him up. Stop your shit. Give me that. It's a cat gun. What are you going to do? Get out of here, you moron.
Reefer.
Did you? Yeah, they even mentioned Reefer Madness, yeah. I think, and then I said, they should make a movie called that, Reefer Madness.
Beware of the Reefer Man, he's smoking pots.
Oh, and by the way, Reefer Madness, no, they didn't do it on, did they do it on MST3K? I've seen the movie Reefer Madness.
I want to say yes.
I have seen it. I don't think I've seen it with... their treatment of it, but there's a scene where a guy's smoking and all of a sudden he just turns into a madman. He just goes he's just smoking. I'm like, what the fuck? That reminds me of a movie called Skidoo. I don't know if anybody's heard of it. No, Skidoo. It's called Skidoo.
Oh.
it has to do with LSD. The problem is the guys who made the movie have no idea what LSD is. Okay? And they want to, like, harp on the hippies of the 60s. And it's like, so they're pumping LSD smoke into the prison. So the warden and everybody's like, wow, man, so this is what we're going to do. It's like, that's not how it works. And it's what's funny is the warden and all the officers, I swear to God, were actors who were bat villains at one point. Or were going to play bat villains. Because I think the movie came out before the Batman TV series. I'm looking, I'm like, holy crap. It's like three or four of them. I'm like, wait a minute. It's this one, this one, this one, this one. Like, oh my God. The movie's so bad, they sing the end. There's a chorus that sings the end credits. I showed one of my friends at the time. He's like, what the hell? Oh, maybe I will. Oh, maybe after DawnCon, I'll see if she can. It's hilarious. It's hilarious to watch because, like, this is why you should study your material before you make it. Anyway, back to this. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay. You know how you find somebody, a villain, and you want them to beat up the hero? You'll find out in a minute. So this is a villain of Airmail and Stampy. I hope Stampy is in the next book we do. Sometimes I see these sidekicks. I'm like, please tell me you put them in the book of sidekicks, because that's what we're doing when we're done with this book. All right, created by Fred Morgan, debuted in Prize Comics Volume 4, Issue Number 3, Prize Comics February 1944. Okay, he is sometimes known as the Reverse Robin Hood. The villain is. His quote: "I must fulfill my mission to rob the poor, to give to the rich. What a mission!" He is known as Robin Hood. A hero isn't a hero because of a colorful costume, a singular sobriquet, or a set of world-shaking superpowers. A hero must stand for something: truth, justice, the American way, smashing Nazis in the mush, sticking it to invading alien forces from another world, slapping around an evil wizard or two, and so on. And what is a supervillain but a superhero reversed? The men and women in black capes also stand for something, even if their ideals are the twisted reflections of heroic goals. No better example exists than Robin Hood, also known as the Reverse Robin Hood. He hewed to his inverted mortal code by plundering the poverty-stricken and giving whatever he found to the well-off. I think we can all agree that Robin Hood might have had a career in politics. Appropriately, the heroes who confront the Reverse Robin Hood come from quotidian origins. Painfully impoverished crime fighters, Airmail and his kid sidekick Stampy are rich in nothing but the most absurd names in the annals of superherodom. As penniless residents of the tenements that Robin Hood robs, the pair was uniquely suited to thwarting the crook's eccentric efforts. Not that they needed to. Once Robin Hood makes his first delivery of ill-gotten gains to the sprawling mansions of the idle rich, the rich don't want it. When a plump dowager, decked out in an evening gown and opera glasses, refers to his booty as junk, Hood is incredulous. Junk, he replies, insisting that the picture frames and alarm clocks he scattered on our floor, treasures captured by your shining knight. Mrs. Morning Belt, disagrees and has her butler violently introduce Robin Hood to the curb. Undaunted, R.H. rededicates himself to his mission, just in time for a rooftop chase with Airmail and Stampy. In hot pursuit, the adventure ends with the Reverse Robin Hood trapped at the waist in a chimney, where he is easily apprehended by his pursuers. In the end, readers are left to ponder, who Robin Hood really was and what his motivation was in robbing the destitute of their meager valuables for the benefit of the obscenely wealthy. Whatever his reasons, he sure stood by them. And that, my friends...
You know the last one's going to be the prize winner. You know the last one's going to be a prize winner when we get to the end of this one.
Well, I hope so. And
still
which one are you referring
to?
Oh, I don't know. We're almost at the end now of the Golden Age, so.
Yep.
Let me see. What? I'm looking ahead. Oh, there's some doozies in there still to come.
Sorry.
Oh, that's what I wanted to look up. Hold on. I want to look up that. You guys can talk while I'm looking up stuff.
I was just being confused for a second because we all know Rain has a tendency to hide. Well, I saw Angela Rain, but after some time of watching chat, I'm going like, nope, that can't be her. The typing is perfect, and she's talking about missions. We all know Rain does not do missions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Her and missions are like me and the tailor in Champions. It goes against the Geneva Convention.
Or power leveling.
Yeah.
Okay. This is only on Plex, as far as it shows here. Here's the cast. Let me read you the cast of this movie. So, Jackie Gleason, Carol Channing, Frankie Avalon, Fred Clark as Tower Guard, Michael Constantine, Frank Gorshin, Peter Lawford, Burgess Meredith, George Raft, Cesar Romero, Mickey Rooney, Groucho Marx, Arnold Stang, Doro Morandi, Phil Arnold, Slim Pickens, Richard Keel, who was Jaws and James Bond, Robert Donner, just give you an idea of this all-star cast they have. IMDb gives it a 4.7 out of 10. Yeah, this is the description of the movie. Infamous psychedelic all-star comedy about ex-gangster Tony Banks, who's called out of retirement by mob kingpin God, who's played by Groucho Marx, by the way, to carry out a hit on fellow mobster Blue Chips Packard. When Banks demurs, God kidnaps his daughter, Darlene, on his luxury yacht. And there's more to it than that. I think they should show it on Bunny Night.
Oh, my goodness. How to
what?
Guarantee have your tune get zapped by the deists. I just saw it.
Wow. Which game?
The Toon,
which game?
On City of Heroes. I just saw it. The name is Antifa.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just zap that to right there. I'm going like, damn, come on. That's like...
but man, what could possibly be wrong with that? I say sarcastically.
I wonder why. I wonder what it would be. I wonder.
Do you explain to those listeners who don't know what we're talking about?
The devs have a tendency that if they see a name and it's in the political category, regardless of any game, that's auto-zap. And I still stand by what I said back in live. When they do that, they should change the character name and costume to what I call Uncle Phil, where he wears he looks like from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He looks like Carl.
Oh, I was going to say, change the costume and political affiliation. What? Huh? Ooh, what? All right, we got less than 4 minutes left.
Don't they have a filtering system to names in this game?
The BN show has joined us. Hold on, the BN show has joined us.
Okay.
In the chat. Hello, BN show. Hello.
We're all wrapping up now, so yeah.
Sadly, the chat's not working for me, so I don't know why. It could be on my end. I probably need to switch
all
browser,
right.
You know. Whatever. It's already at end, near at end.
That's right. So we got like 3 minutes left. I just want to say thank you to Alto. Thank you to Mad Viking. Thank you to Alto for calling in. Thank you to Mad Viking for co-hosting. Thank you to everybody who showed up tonight and for listening. And don't forget, starting Wednesday night, DawnCon 8 begins. DawnCon Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern in the Viboro Bay Powerhouse Theater. Thursday starts at, what, 3 p.m.?
On Dawn Radio.
On Dawn Radio. I don't know where the DJs are going to be. Who knows where they're going to pop up. Friday night, we said 7 p.m. Eastern. Probably a little bit earlier. I would get there earlier.
For the contest.
Champions HQ.
It's an hour,
right.
Hour before Monday night or so.
The contest is at 7. I would get there at 6-ish. Is there a Taylor in the Champions HQ?
I don't know.
No.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah. Right. There's
no
Taylor in the
tailoring.
Champions HQ. No
there's
tailoring.
No.
You just show. Get no tailoring for this one. You show up in your costume before you get there. You just show up. Get your
there's
costume ready.
No sex
ready.
In the champagne room.
That's right. There's no champagne room. This is, hold on. This isn't the minefield. This isn't the minefield this week, kids. This is DawnCon. We're keeping it for the family. This is the family night edition of Bunny Night. This family edition. Saturday, 2 p.m. in Champions HQ, 5 p.m. the Superior Contest, Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern Age, an overall. And then hopefully we'll do some trivia, depending if I have time to look it up. Domination at 10 p.m., and then followed by DJ Jester's After Party. Then 2 p.m. Saturday in the 2 p.m. Eastern, these are all times Eastern, Canadian Wilderness for Fast and the Furious. Furious, sorry. Bring your vehicle, bring your furry character or costume. And then hopefully Sunday night, sorry, we're going to do a little bit of D&D action. Any more details on that? D&D. Me, Alto, Mad Viking, joining my friends. That's right. Oh, we're in the middle of the quest with some friends. They're going to be joining in. And with that, thank you all for tuning in. Next Monday night, we're going to recap all the excitement that is DawnCon 8 The Ocho. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast on dawnradio.org. Embrace the dawn. See you next week. Stay super.
Bye.
And that's it. We're in the after party.
All right. Well, I got to disconnect, so I'll talk to everyone later.
All right. And Swaghammer just showed up.
Yep.
Damn it.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I'll send him a thing. All right, good night.
Night.
Great show, everybody. See you later.